Hey, True Crime Mamas and friends. This is your co-host, Christina, and I am here today with Heidi and Jenny. How are y'all doing?
Good. Fabulous.
And before we get started, just wanted to talk for a few minutes because we found out something really interesting about the three of us. Mm-hmm. We are all kids of medical professionals.
It's a special club.
It is a special club. And actually, how we found out about it was some conversations about alternative therapies. And Heidi and I gave each other a look. And then she said, "Are you the child of a nurse?"
Yeah.
And I said,
"Yeah." We just know. We're a special club. We know, yeah. We know one when we see one. We grew up in a house where you have to be dying to stay home from school. Advil, like, cures everything.
Yes, or Tylenol, depending on the mom.
You have a puke bucket.
Yes, you do.
Designated puke bucket.
Yeah. And my dad's a doctor. So, yeah, it was pretty much the same for me, too, except he's a big believer in Campophonique. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Yes, unfortunately, I have.
So, any time I would have, like, a cut or a scrape or a bug bite, you'd be like, "Go get the Campophonique." I love you, Dad.
Mine was always children's Tylenol or children's Benadryl. Oh. Cure alls.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what cured at my parents' house is their bed? Like, every time we got sick, we got to hang out in their bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Magical. And we have this thing. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But when my parents die, we are going to, like, force their blanket. Like, this special blanket that they always have on their bed. Like, we're going to cut it in fourths, and we each get a piece. I don't even know if my parents know that that's, like, a thing between my siblings, but...
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
It was magical. Like, their bed was this magical bed where you only got to sit in if you were sick, and it was magic.
That actually sounds really amazing, a magical bed.
Yeah, with your puke bucket.
See, nice. It was yellow. Ours was yellow. But it also was kind of like the cookie bucket. Like
you wait a minute.
What? Well, you washed it.
But you put cookies
but it was
in
the
your
only one
cute
big
bucket
for like dough and puke.
That's pretty amazing.
I don't even know where to go with that.
I don't ever want any cookies from your parents' house. No thanks. Not the puke bucket cookies.
Sorry, Heidi's parents.
I know. We really love you, and we're sorry. We don't want you to die, and we'll pretend your cookies are good.
They don't make cookies.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. So we have a very interesting case to cover today. It's about a dentist who was accused of murder. So it sounds like we have a lot to unpack.
About Dr. Kirk Turner and his wife, Jennifer Turner. So this case was actually submitted to us by one of our listeners. So thank you. Keep them coming. We love the recommendations.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so this happened right after I moved here to North Carolina.
Okay.
So my mom and dad, they moved here to Davie County. So mm-hmm. It happened in Davie County. So if you don't know where Davie County is, it's kind of like the middle of the state. It's really kind of small. It's right about 10 miles away from Winston-Salem.
I actually didn't know that because I'm not from here. I didn't even know where Davie County was.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's really small. Like, there's seriously just one high school in Davie County. Just one.
I think I have heard if you want to commit a crime, do it in Davie County.
That could be true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, never mind. So it's also about, I would say, about 50 miles away from Charlotte. So if you don't know where Winston is, there's Charlotte. So mm-hmm. Anyway, so in the center of the county is the town of Mocksville.
Okay.
Mocksville is super cute. It's like this little quaint little town. It's kind of a rural area. I've been lost there a few times, but there is a Walmart.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a point of reference.
So Mocksville is where our story takes place.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Jennifer Turner. She was a mother of two children, Wendy and Richie, who were adults at the time of her death. And she had been married to her husband, Dr. Kirk Turner, for 23 years.
Oh,
yeah, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her daughter, Wendy, and Jennifer's friends described her as, quote, the epitome of a gentle soul.
Mm.
And I so want people to think of me that way, too.
Same. I always feel like people who get murdered have that. Like,
I know.
They're always the, like, bless her heart. She never knew a stranger.
Yeah.
You know.
It's kind of sad that way.
Yeah.
So Jennifer was super passionate about horses, and it had been her dream to own a horse breeding farm and have it be like her business. Like, it makes money.
Yeah.
So at the time of her death, she owned 9 horses and lived on this beautiful farm out in Moxville. Her husband, Dr. Kirk Turner, he is a very successful dentist in Clemens. I live in Clemens. So it's not very far from Moxville. It's just right over the border into Forsyth County. His staff said they thought he was a very generous man who treated his employees very well. Mm-hmm. He'd take them out to lunch. He was really well-liked by his patients and his staff. And they said that he would talk about his wife a lot and how much he loved her, talk about their kids, talk about the vacations they were having. And from the outside, it seemed like he and Jennifer had it all.
Yeah.
They were successful. I know, right?
Yeah.
Successful businesses, super nice house, which I got to add, it's 10,000 square feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a lot to clean.
That's a lot of house.
That's a lot of house.
For only 2 kids, too.
No, they were adults.
Oh.
At the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So, and they had a 35-acre horse farm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Dr. Kirk liked to collect vintage Corvettes. I mean, that's a collection.
That's just something you collect.
Right.
Corvettes.
He also collected guns and other things like that. Now, granted, it's Moxville, North Carolina. People collect weapons.
All right.
It's not something I'm used to from California, but,
yeah. You know. I mean, I kind of am used to it in Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not. So the family was close. Mm-hmm. Dr. Kirk and Jennifer seemed like the perfect match, and that's why everyone, especially Jennifer, was absolutely shocked when Kirk told her he wanted a divorce.
Yeah, that's so. Can you imagine
after 23 years
and like the quote unquote perfect marriage?
Right.
Ugh.
Says, "Oh, I want a divorce."
Yeah.
Okay. So basically what happened is Dr. Kirk started having an affair.
Why? You're married. Just, if you want to have an affair, just get a divorce. Like, I don't understand why people think they need to drag their wife and their children through that. Like, especially if your kids are adults.
I know. I don't either. He stated in interviews that he felt his relationship with his wife was over because of her excessive dedication of her time to her horses.
Ugh.
Right?
Horses, I mean, are a lot of work.
A farm, 35 acres and a 10,000
horses?
Right.
I mean, I've never taken care of a horse, but I can imagine that's more than one person's full-time job.
Most definitely. So I guess he was feeling lonely or something. So I'm definitely not condoning this affair because he was feeling sad and alone. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But he said that she was spending like 12 hours a day on the farm, you know, like clearing pastures and putting up fences, doing all the farm stuff.
I think that it needs to happen, right?
Yeah, it does. So my in-laws live on a farm.
Yeah.
40-acre farm. And they are constantly doing stuff like feeding animals or baling hay or stuff like fixing fences. So, I mean, it's a lot to do.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine if this was Jennifer's business and she had 9 horses.
And it was just her.
I guess it was just her.
She was the sole provider for her farm. Or not provider, but
caretaker?
Yeah, caretaker.
I don't know. Okay. I didn't see anything in my research about that, but there's always stuff to be done.
But she had things under control.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so Dr. Kirk, like I said, felt lonely, started having this affair. He said in an interview that he asked Jennifer for the divorce just a couple weeks after he started sleeping with the mistress. Okay.
I mean, this is going to sound a little bit wrong, but at least he didn't wait, like, years into an affair to bring it up, but...
But still.
Yeah.
Wendy, the daughter, said that her dad came to her school. Like I said, she was in college at the time. Mm-hmm. And he told her that they were going to get separated. So I guess he went to her and said, hey, honey, your mom and I are going to get separated.
Like at school?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a family discussion.
Yeah, I know. Same. She said she asked him, I guess, that night if he was cheating on her mom. And he said he wasn't.
That's what she jumped to?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we all know that was a lie. He continued to deny that he was having this affair, but you know women's instincts. Mm-hmm. Jennifer hired a private investigator. Right? I would do the same.
Yep.
To figure out, you know, why is my husband after 23 years, why is he leaving? Okay. So she finds out that he is having an affair with their personal banker.
First of all, who has a personal banker? Like, that's so far outside my world. To have a personal banker.
Same here. All right. So he was having an affair, and her name was Tanya Colvin, and I would lose my mind, and yeah. I would be plotting.
Yes.
But
100%.
Wendy said that her mom was just hurt.
Aww.
That makes me so sad.
That is sad.
You know, that she wasn't vengeful or angry. She was just hurt and sad.
It seemed like she was still invested in their marriage.
Yeah.
Like she had no idea anything was going on.
She was blindsided, it sounds like. So she was trying to figure out, I guess, how to survive and keep her horses and her farm. And I'm not sure exactly, like, how much money she was bringing in every month from the horse farm. But from all my research, said that Dr. Kirk pretty much funded the farm and their household on his annual salary of $650,000 a year.
From being a family dentist?
From being a dentist. Had no idea dentists made that much.
Me neither. I should have been a dentist.
Definitely. So, yeah, I'd be freaking out, too, trying to figure out how to survive. So I guess that's why you need the personal banker.
Yeah.
Because you make $650,000 a year.
Yeah.
So, Jennifer stayed in the house on the farm. Kirk moved out. He ended up moving in with Tanya. And a judge ordered Kirk to pay Jennifer $30,000 a month. I mean, it sounds like he could afford that on his salary.
Yeah. I feel like there are families that that's their family income.
Yeah.
Like, there are plenty of families that live just off of her alimony.
Yeah. So, the once happy family was now divided. Son Richie took dad's side and moved in with him. Wendy sided with her mom. And like I said, she was away at college at the time. And her dad had cut her off financially because she sided with her mom. He canceled all of her credit cards.
I don't like that. That it seems like he's being shady.
Yeah. Stopped paying her tuition at school.
Yeah.
She said she stopped talking to him because he had cheated on her mom.
Right.
I mean, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. You cheat on my mom.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
She said that, quote, I think he thought that I would talk to him if he would give me money. But I was doing what I thought was right, which was standing up for my mother. And no amount of money would have changed that. End quote. I get that.
I do too.
So Jennifer ended up filing for divorce.
Oh, okay.
But she also wanted to go after the mistress, and she slapped Tanya with an alienation of affection lawsuit.
I had never heard of that. Until I read this case, I had never heard of it. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. I don't know how many states it's still active in, but I know in North Carolina it is. And so basically you can sue the woman for stealing your husband. So
if
your husband...
a little silly, but at least you can do that.
I know.
Like, it for your emotional state.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're going to hurt me. I'm going to sue you for stealing my man.
And if she was a personal banker, maybe she had the money to...
Well, true.
Yeah.
So from what I understand, Kirk was pretty upset about this lawsuit. And kept pressuring Jennifer to drop the lawsuit.
He felt bad that his wife was mad at his girlfriend.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, God.
So at this point, everything's getting ugly.
Yeah.
In an interview with 48 Hours Mystery, Wendy was asked this specific question, quote, "When your father is upset, is he a menacing man?" End quote. Wendy stated her dad can be very scary. Yeah. Very scary. Jennifer's friends said that, well, they were also interviewed in the same show. Mm-hmm. And they said that she was afraid of him, that he was going to hurt or even kill her. She was afraid of him blowing up and losing control.
And that she was that afraid to confide in her friends, that mm-hmm. she was worried about that. I think that speaks
volumes. It speaks volumes, yeah. Definitely. So Jennifer started to take precautions to defend herself. She bought mace, and at night she would seal herself off in her bedroom, lock the door, and sleep with a baseball bat next to her bed. Oh, and wow. She also had a second cell phone, I guess, just in case.
Wow.
So, interestingly, 2 years later, Wendy, their daughter, mm-hmm. tells the courtroom exact words spoken by Kirk that made her mother completely cringe with fear. Quote, "She told me that he said there was more than one way to end a marriage. She thought he was going to try to kill her."
So he said that to his wife, his deceased wife?
Well, she wasn't dead at the time. Right. But he had told his wife, yeah, there's more than one way to end a marriage.
Yeah.
See, I don't know how you would take that, but I don't see any other way to end a marriage other than a divorce.
Yeah. I would probably keep a baseball bat by my bed.
Same here.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to the night of September 12th, 2007. Jennifer and Dr. Kirk were in the process of getting a divorce, and it was messy. She wouldn't back down from this alienation of affection mm-hmm. lawsuit against his mistress, Tanya. Kirk had been telling Jennifer that they needed to sell the farm. Okay, she didn't want to sell the farm.
Yeah, it was her livelihood.
Exactly. She loved the horses. She loved being on the farm. He wanted to sell it, I guess, because he didn't want to keep paying the $30,000 a month to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
So one evening, a family friend by the name of Greg Smithson, he had called and asked Jennifer if he can come get some of his things out of a shed that was on her property.
Some of Greg's things.
Not sure what items he wanted or why they were stored on their property, mm-hmm. but nonetheless, Greg needed them and asked Jennifer if he can come over and get them, and that he had Kirk with him.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Greg's testimony, Jennifer said it was fine that Kirk was there with him. Greg stated he thought that it was maybe around a little bit before 8 o'clock when he and Kirk arrived at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer went down to the shed with them to help retrieve the items. Greg said he went back up to his vehicle, leaving Kirk and Jennifer alone in the shed for just a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk said he felt this was a good time to bring up some stuff about the divorce. Right.
He just had the documents in his pocket.
Yeah. So he shows Jennifer two documents that he had brought with him.
Yeah.
One, an order that he planned to file with the court to force the sale of the farm.
Completely breaking her.
Completely. Yeah. Not only is he leaving her, but now he's going to take away her farm.
Yeah.
Second, there was an affidavit from Jennifer's first husband claiming that the marriage had failed because of Jennifer's obsession with the horses.
Aww.
Can you imagine you're getting divorced and then... Here's these two documents that I'm going to show you. And
let's just shove the knife in a little further.
Touché. So according to Kirk, at this point, Jennifer snapped and grabbed a 7-foot spear from the corner of the room and stabbed him twice in the leg with it. Kirk said he reached in his pocket for his pocket knife. Now, I need to tell you that this pocket knife, it's about 4 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And he stabbed her with it.
Guarding himself from an 8-foot spear.
7-foot spear, right. So he went and he grabbed his pocket knife, stabbed her, but he doesn't remember this incident. So remember Greg, I told you about a minute ago?
Mm-hmm.
the friend who's outside of his vehicle. Mm-hmm. Greg said in his statement to the police that at about 8 p.m., he saw Kirk stumble from the shed, bleeding. Greg said he ran over to see Jennifer on the floor of the shed, bleeding profusely.
Okay.
He said he tried to give her CPR. According to the records, it wasn't until about 9:35 p.m. when Greg called 911.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
So Jennifer was sadly pronounced dead at the mm-hmm. scene from multiple stab wounds, which
with
severed...
With a 4-inch pocket knife?
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of stabbing.
Right, yeah. So she had the multiple stab wounds, which severed major arteries. Can't talk now. Arteries. And she bled to death from those injuries. According to reports, Jennifer was nearly decapitated from the injuries to her neck from that 4-inch pocket knife.
I can't. That is very small. A neck is not small. That takes a lot of force and a lot of anger
mm-hmm.
to nearly decapitate someone with a 4-inch pocket knife.
Agreed.
And if she had a spear that was taller than the man she was fighting against, mm-hmm. how could he even get in there to get her with a pocket knife?
I don't know. It's all a mystery.
And I know they were both tall. She was a tall lady.
She was a tall lady. Yeah, she was 5'11".
So they were probably like eye-to-eye-ish.
Maybe.
But still.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I know. So Kirk went to the hospital for his injuries to his leg, and 48 hours reported that Kirk would tell anyone in the hospital that would listen that he killed her in self-defense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I did see that it was kind of a serious wound. He had to get a blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was just like a small stab. It went through his thigh.
It did.
Like the spear went completely through.
Yeah. So Dr. Kirk Turner was charged with first degree murder of his estranged wife, Jennifer. But that's not the end of this story. In July of 2009, Dr. Turner went on trial, and the trial lasted about a month. At the trial, prosecutors said that Kirk staged the scene to make it look like self-defense and that he stabbed himself with the spear after he had already killed Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So according to the physician's report at the hospital on Kirk's injuries, it appeared that the wounds were clean through and through.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there wasn't any, like, twisting of the blade.
So he wasn't trying to get away from the blade when he was stabbed.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the State Bureau of Investigation, the SBI, mm-hmm. report stated that blood spatter was only found inches above the floor,
mm-hmm.
which indicates, according to the examiner, mm-hmm. that Jennifer was not standing when her throat was cut.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, she's 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
If you stab her while she's standing,
you would get all over you.
All over, because you're severing an artery, mm-hmm. and it would go everywhere, not just a couple inches above.
It would go
above.
On you, it would go on the background, it would go on the floor.
On the ceiling, it would go everywhere.
Yeah.
So her throat was cut so deeply, two times, that it nearly decapitated her.
Ugh.
SBI also reported that her blood was found on the floor drying before his blood fell on top of it.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's kind of the opposite of what his story was, that she attacked him first. Because
mm-hmm.
that would mean that his blood would be on the floor drying before her blood fell on the floor.
So how did the friend, the Greg guy, not hear any of this? I can imagine it was a pretty big commotion.
You would think.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And if he was close enough to the shed or barn or whatever they were in to see the doctor come out bloody, how could he not hear, like, the banging around and the stabbing and I'm screaming?
Right. Why would he not come sooner? But I'm not going to say anything to that. All right. So, as you know, the prosecution is going to try to show discrepancies in the stories. So, in Greg's story, remember he said he reported seeing Kirk stumble out of the mm-hmm. shed, wounded, bleeding,
yeah,
a little after 8. But didn't call 911 until 9:35.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves a 90-minute window of time completely unaccounted for.
But he did say he did CPR, Greg.
That he did. So let me be clear about something. Greg was never charged in this case. Right. There was not enough evidence to bring him up on charges.
Right.
So prosecution also stated that had Greg given CPR to Jennifer, mm-hmm. so he brought up a good point. If he had, there would have been bloody handprints on her chest from the compressions.
Well, and evidence of CPR. I mean, CPR nearly breaks your
ribs. Your ribs, yeah. There was no evidence of CPR being done on her.
No
broken ribs.
Oh.
Mm-mm. And no blood on him.
This Greg dude, he wasn't a small guy.
No, he wasn't.
From that...
The 48 hours?
The 48 hours. He's not a small guy. I can imagine he could put quite a bit of pressure
mm-hmm.
doing CPR.
Yeah. And it seemed like Jennifer was tall and thin.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine that his force alone would do some mm-hmm. damage, at least some bruising. But none of that was evident at the scene or reported by anybody. So according to the SBI, the physical evidence at the scene did not indicate that she attacked him first.
Mm-hmm.
Her fingerprints were not found on the 7-foot spear.
Really?
Yeah.
Were his?
I think so.
But hers were never.
Hers were not.
Wow.
So also evidence showed the majority of the blood on the spear belonged to Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If he had been stabbed through the leg with the spear first, his blood would have been the majority that was on the spear, mm-hmm. not hers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
His blood would have been on the 4-inch knife.
Correct.
His blood would have been on the spear.
Yeah.
Right.
At least that's the way that I would see it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, the spear dropped and, you know, since she was bleeding out.
Right.
Then the blood would be all over the spear too, I guess. I don't know. So, essentially, the prosecution tried to paint this picture of an angry man who was bitter at his soon-to-be ex-wife for slapping a lawsuit on the new girlfriend.
And having to pay out so much alimony.
Right. So, prosecution said that he killed her, staged the scene to make it look like self-defense, where either he stabbed himself
mm-hmm.
or he had his friend Greg stab him. You know, that 90 minutes unaccounted for.
I'm seeing his stab wound. I can't imagine stabbing myself.
No.
Like, devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine stabbing myself through the thigh
right.
with a spear. I feel like someone else, I mean, again, nothing's been proven, but I feel like someone else would have to do that to me twice, especially. He was stabbed twice.
He was stabbed twice, yes, in the leg.
Yeah.
But prosecution also tried to say that since he's a doctor, he knows where the femoral artery is, and he knew to not stab himself there to where he would bleed out.
Or, you know, knew where to tell someone.
To stab him. Seems all pretty cut and dry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Angry man, kills his soon-to-be ex-wife, doesn't have to pay her, he can live happily ever after with his new woman.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so on to the defense's case. His defense attorneys painted a very different picture of not only the incident, but of Jennifer's character as well.
Mm-hmm.
The first day of the defense's case, they called up this witness that testified that Jennifer had assaulted her.
Oh.
Yeah. This woman, her name was Liz McMillan, said on the stand that while she was analyzing jewelry at the Turner's home, as part of a court-ordered appraisal of their belongings,
mm-hmm.
Jennifer Turner shoved her after becoming upset that the jewelry purchased before the couple's marriage was also to be appraised.
Okay.
All right, so I want you to read this little blurb from an article that I found on WXII News.
Okay, so this is a quote from Mrs. McMillan. It says, Mrs. McMillan said, Mrs. Turner was standing about 6 or 8 feet away and said, I want you to leave now. And Mrs. Turner charged at me. She put her hands on my shoulders and shoved me back and said, get out. I was stunned, McMillan said, adding that she was especially frightened since she was 8 weeks pregnant at the time.
Right. So they're trying to paint Jennifer as an angry, volatile...
Pregnant lady abuser?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So second up for the defense was the Turner's marriage therapist, Karen Berry, who met with the couple in 07, months before Jennifer was discovered dead in the shed behind her home. So if you don't mind, let's have you read this from another WXII report.
Okay. It says, "Did Dr. Turner ever speak ugly of Jennifer?" Defense lawyer Joe Cheshire asked Barry. "No," Barry responded. "He actually had great feelings toward Mrs. Turner and her motherhood. But as treatment continued, Mr. Turner started to express concerns about Mrs. Turner's behavior." Barry said, "Jennifer Turner, was concerned for her financial state and even offered to allow her husband to continue an affair he was having as long as she could stay married to him. Mrs. Turner offered Dr. Turner to continue to have his girlfriend and stay married to her." Barry said she wanted them to present themselves as a married couple to the public and he could continue to have Tanya on the side.
What do you think about that?
I hate it so much.
So much.
I hate it. I cannot imagine being like, "It's cool. You just go do your thing with Tanya and I'll be here with the horses doing my thing."
Right.
And let's just make everyone think we're cool.
Right. I mean, we were just having this conversation.
Yeah. It's not. And I mean, I understand she was not financially stable without him. And I bet that would be paralyzing. But still, like, that's not. I can't imagine living my life that way.
No. No. Having your cake and eat it too. Or, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, let's stay married but you can still have your girlfriend.
No.
I don't buy it.
No.
That's just how I feel, but
yeah. Well, and I would think a marriage counselor would be like,
right. Let's reevaluate.
Like, let's talk about why you think it's okay for your husband to have a girlfriend.
And let's figure out how to move on from this.
Because
any good marriage counselor is going to say, you know, let's either you want to work on the marriage or you don't.
Right.
Either stay together and work on it or you get divorced.
Yep.
Anyway, so remember that statement I said earlier about Wendy saying that her mom had told her that Kirk had said there's more than one way to end a marriage?
Uh-huh.
So that was brought up in the trial as well.
I think that haunts her dreams.
Oh, I can imagine it would. I know. But the attorneys just kind of, to me, brushed it off because they said all that Dr. Kirk meant by it was separation.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
No. No one thinks that.
Mm-mm. You can end them. There's more than one way to end a marriage.
Yeah.
But to me, ending a marriage does not mean separation.
No. And maybe because we're true crime mamas, we immediately are like, "Oh, you mean murder."
Right.
I think anyone, even if you're not a true crime mama, would think like, that's a threat.
Yeah. Like, it sounded like a threat.
Yeah.
Especially if he's telling her you have to sell the farm and things like that. It just seems a little threatening.
Yes.
Like showing 100%. Up. Like showing up to get your friend's stuff out of a shed and you have two affidavits with you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The defense had several experts testify that, in their opinion, evidence at the scene revealed that Dr. Turner was attacked first and acted in self-defense. Defense also argued that if he had attacked her first, her blood would have been inside his pants pocket, but only his DNA was present in his pocket, meaning that he had been attacked by her first. I had to go through this about 18 times.
Yeah, I couldn't. I tried to explain it to my husband, and I couldn't explain it in a way that anyone else would understand because it's that, like, silly. Like, without, like, I can't find a better word. Like, it's that silly to think that.
Yeah. I mean, I had to rewatch the episode and re-go through the documents because I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So, let's just say he attacks, if he had defended himself, let's say she comes at him with the 7-foot spear.
In his thigh.
He has to reach into his pocket for a pocket knife.
Yeah. So if someone stabbed me, instinctually, I would grab the wound.
Right.
So my blood would be on my hand. And then to defend myself, put my hand in my pocket where my weapon is. Go after the person.
Right. So only his blood was found inside the pants pocket.
Okay.
So the defense was trying to say, oh, well, if he had attacked her first, her blood would have been in the pocket. But why would her blood be in the pocket if he was reaching for the knife?
Also, they don't know which weapon was used first, right?
Right.
He could have stabbed her with the spear.
With the 7-foot spear.
There's plenty of space between the end of the spear and your hand for no blood to get on you.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fishy.
But, yeah, it is totally fishy.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the defense. They were saying that he had suffered all of his wounds before he even reached in his pocket for that knife to defend himself.
Okay.
And this was the defense's key fact in this case. Dr. Turner never denied that he caused her death. Okay. Never denied that. But he always claimed it was self-defense.
But also, decapitating a person, basically,
mm-hmm.
and, like, maybe making them so they can't attack you back is much different. You don't have to overkill someone by almost decapitating them
uh-huh.
to make them, like, so they can't attack you back. You know what I mean?
100%.
He could have pushed her down. He could have kneeled on top of her. He could have done all sorts of things besides decapitate her.
Right.
To make her so she can't defend herself, you know?
Like, run away.
Yeah.
But then again, if he had been stabbed first in the leg, running away probably would not have worked out. But
still, I mean, it just seems like it was so much force for him to do the wounds he did to her, and he had such little done back to him.
Yeah.
That it just didn't seem like that happened in the way he said it happened.
It doesn't really jive for me either.
No.
But this
is... I guess I kind of get the no blood in the pocket.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, like, I would go for the wound. I would touch it with my hand.
Sure.
You know, you just do that. But, I don't know. It just seems a little far-fetched.
I agree. So, here's another thing that seems kind of relevant to me. I don't know about you, but during the trial, the judge, Judge Spanauer,
mm-hmm.
he got wind that 4 of the jurors were discussing the case at length while they were out at lunch together.
Of course.
Right.
Small town Knoxville.
Yeah. A plainclothes detective happened to be sitting at the table next to them and overheard their conversation. The judge totally, like, scolded the jurors for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's illegal. You're not supposed to talk about the case currently sitting on.
Yeah.
To me, it should have been a mistrial.
Yes.
But I'm not the judge. I guess the judge decided to not have a mistrial because they weren't citing either way, according to the detective who overheard the conversation.
Well, I feel like that's just hearsay. Like, if they were discussing it outside of the courtroom where they should have been discussing it.
In a restaurant.
It should have been a mistrial.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he did tell the jurors if it were to happen again, that they would fine them $500 each and he would put them in jail for 30 days.
Okay.
But I'm still thinking if you're going to say that, why are we still continuing with the trial?
Right.
Okay. I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer.
Right. We weren't on the jury.
We were not. But this trial took a whole month to get through, and the jury came back with a verdict in only 6 hours.
Wow.
This blows my mind.
Which, in a murder trial?
Yeah.
That, to me, my personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
feels like they knew what they were going to decide before they even went in the room.
Right. So on August 22nd, 2009, the jury found Dr. Kirk Turner not guilty of first-degree murder.
Can you imagine the courtroom? The gasps and the...
The tears.
Ugh. And his poor kids.
I know.
I hate that.
So, according to the Winston-Salem Journal, the jury believed that he was justified in defending himself against his wife's attack and that whatever force he used was not excessive.
Right. It,
decapitating her, almost, is not excessive.
Yeah, that seems like a normal reaction.
Yeah. I mean, do you hear the sarcasm in my voice? So 48 Hours actually interviewed several of the jurors on camera.
Yeah.
and they stated that the lack of blood evidence in the pants pocket was what sealed it for the defense. Okay.
I know. I wasn't on the jury. I don't know exactly, but that just seems so... That just doesn't seem right to me. It doesn't seem like there was enough.
No. It, to me, didn't seem like they took into account everything.
Well, and the blood evidence that her blood was there before his blood.
Right. That's and huge. That it was only on a couple inches above right. the ground.
Right.
Indicating that she had been stabbed while she was down.
It makes me wonder what type of people, like experts they had. You know, like did they have a blood splatter analyst?
That's a really good question.
Have, like people, you know, like discuss the science behind all of this.
All right. So I need to tell you, Dr. Turner actually filed a lawsuit in 2011 against the SBI saying that they had fabricated that blood evidence in an effort to support the prosecution's theory.
Okay.
Yeah. So in 2018, the case was settled and they gave Dr. Turner $200,000 in that settlement.
Wow.
Yeah.
He did not need that money. He didn't need to do that. Like,
no, I agree.
Like, I mean, I get if he was innocent, which I guess he's been proven to be innocent, but like court fees are expensive, whatever, attorney fees are expensive, but that just seems like a little bit spitting on her grave to me.
Yeah. But then again, settling outside of court is not exactly an admission.
Right.
Yeah. So, maybe they just settled out of court just to get this case
done
and over with.
Yeah.
Don't know. But anyway, Dr. Turner is still a practicing dentist today in Clemens. Their daughter, Wendy, is estranged from her father and her brother.
That's sad.
So, but if you're wondering what happened between Dr. Kirk and the mistress, Tanya.
I am, actually.
They got married.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the person that submitted this said that he talks about her all the time and that they seem very happy together. Yeah, but then again, he also did the same.
Jennifer.
I know.
Tanya needs to watch your back. That's all I'm saying. I don't know you, Tanya, but girl.
Girl.
Watch your back.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I hear he's a super nice guy and he's a really good dentist.
Wow.
But, I mean, everybody can have a dark side. You never know. You never anyone. Know.
And secretly... I need a dentist, and I kind of want to meet him.
No.
Like, there's a little bit of me.
No. Don't do it.
Like, and I want to secretly film it just so we can talk about it on our podcast.
Okay, go for it. I mean, it's not like he's... Oh, my goodness. All right. So if you want to watch the 48 Hours episode of this case, it's 48 Hours Mystery, A Killer Defense is the title.
And it is good.
It is really good.
It's really factual and it's really good.
Yeah. So I thought it was excellent. And I also got my other sources from WXII, the Winston-Salem Journal, Greensboro News and Record. And I think that was about it.
And soon to be Heidi's cell phone when I go in and become his new patient.
You're going to, do you want to call him, make an appointment?
Maybe.
We should do that.
I don't have a dentist.
Well, you did just move
here.
I know
I need a crown.
Oh.
Like, if he's cheap, I think I'm willing.
He makes $650,000 a year. I don't think he's cheap.
That's true.
So, I'm just trying to wipe the tears from my eyes because I've spent the last few minutes laughing. Wow, what a story.
Yeah.
So, I think I already know the answer to this question, but what do you guys think? Is he guilty? Did he do it?
I mean, obviously he admitted to killing her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
is it self-defense? I don't really...
I think the three of them are the only ones that know.
I agree.
Greg, Jennifer, and the doctor. Like, there's no other...
Yeah. But her being fearful for her life,
yes,
that kind of really strikes a chord with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you already knew that there was something brewing.
Yeah.
And if she was so afraid of him, mm-hmm, how come she was okay with him coming over that night? But then again, he was also with a family friend. So I guess she must have thought, well, if Greg is here, then it's safe. I'm safe.
Safety in numbers.
Right.
The only thing that doesn't jive good with me is that he was stabbed through his thigh twice with a spear. Like, I can't imagine the pain that that would cause. Like, the picture is, like, straight through.
Straight through.
It seems like it missed the muscle. But it's like...
Possibly. I don't know.
I can't imagine doing that to myself. But also, like, the adrenaline pumping, the money that's going on, the everything that's going on, maybe that's motivation enough to just, like, get it over with. Like, boom, boom, stab twice.
Stab, stab.
Yeah.
Off we go.
Okay, let's get in the car.
In playing devil's advocate, maybe she really did. I mean, I'll be honest with you, if my husband... had an affair on me.
A woman scorned.
Yeah, I might stab him in the leg too.
Exactly.
Especially.
Maybe, go ahead. No, maybe she just meant to stab him in the leg. Like, hey, you dickhead. Yeah. Stab, stab. Don't cheat on me. And don't try to take my things and my horses.
Especially my horses.
And like, you're an asshole. I'm going to stab you. But like, maybe she wanted to leave it at that.
Maybe so. You're right.
Maybe she was aiming for the groin. Region.
Ooh, good point.
Good call. Like, I mean, that's totally what I would do.
Yeah. Tanya can't have it.
Yeah, super glue and a baseball bat is always my method of, I guess, revenge.
If I can't have it, no one can.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this was a great case. Thank you so much for covering it. I'm super excited for our listeners to hear this.
Me too.
You guys have a great rest of your day.
You too. Go make your dental appointment.
I'll keep you posted. Definitely.
True Crime Mamas Podcast is a production of Coastal Mama Production. Theme music created by Sam Morrison with Arkham Files Podcast. TCM Podcast is property of the True Crime Mamas Podcast, LLC.